Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day. So we are starting a new series all about friendships. I really love helping people share life with one another. One of the things that part of like our vision that we want to see is having life-giving conversations around every table in Carlton County, because I believe that people are hungry and ready, and maybe even some people are desperate to have someone notice them, encourage them, and champion them. And I've wanted to do this series all year about, like, what do real friends look like? How do we make friends? Like, do you have to walk up as an adult and say, hey, want to be my friend? And have, like, that awkward silence, right? Like, we don't even know. Some of us, we are hungry for friendships. We just don't know how to enter into them. And then once you have a friend, what do you do with them? So I'm excited. We're going to talk about friendships for the next couple of weeks. And today it's all about becoming friends, because friendships are wonderful, but how do you know you got one, right? How do you actually know you move from like just a firm handshake and the look in the eye kind of relationship to maybe like just kind of like we're coworkers, we share a space together, to like we are, I think we just became best friends kind of moments, right? I asked several people this question, and I got a lot of, I won't share all the results I got, but I got some really interesting ones of like, one that I read was, you know you've moved into friends when you automatically connect to their Wi-Fi, right? You just pull up, and you're like, oh, I'm connected. That's a friend. A friend is someone where you don't have to ask to use the refrigerator. You just walk in, you're like, hey, Joe Bag of Donuts, right? And you just open the fridge and get what you want. A friend is when you might invite them to go hang out or go to a concert or go to a show. Like, friend, people put some other ones. Like, you trust your kids to play around with them and they might do stupid stuff, but you still don't feel like you have to like leave and never come back, right? That's true. Those are friendships. But friendships are also really messy, aren't they? Because there's some really weird stuff when it comes to friendships. How about this one? Have you ever played the game of, you're like, well, what kind of friends are we? Are we like good friends? Are we great friends? You ever say that to someone? They're like, oh, do you know Bill? And you're like, oh yeah, he's a great friend of mine. They're like, oh, what's his wife's name? You're like, oh, yeah, we're not that good of friends, sorry. Right? Are we good friends, great friends? Are we best friends? Are we like hold hands like this and jump up and down when we see each other friends? Like are we like let's scream out loud friends? Like there's this varying degree of friendships. And sometimes that can get messy, right? Of when you're trying to evaluate of where you're at in the friendships. Because you see on Facebook, that group of friends that you thought were like really, really good friends, they did some other really good friend stuff, but not your good friends kind of things. And you feel what? Insecure. You might feel jealous. You might feel angry. And you thought, I thought we were great friends. Apparently, we were only good friends. We do this thing as friends of maybe you have a circle of friends and you look at another circle of friends and you think, well, how come we don't have fun? Like, they have a different kind of fun than we have fun. And I want their fun more than our fun, right? And they might go travel. They might have dinner parties. They might, like, do karaoke. And we do this comparing game as friends with other friends. And it gets exhausting, doesn't it? Or maybe you have this pressure of, I have to have the best friend. Anyone feel that before? I need to have like that one friend. Like I've known friends that have been together since they were like in kindergarten and grow up together and raise their kids together and have fun. And they have like this deep, like deep connection. And maybe you're hearing like, yeah, I don't have that. I've talked to a lot of people with feeling, but because I don't have that kind of friend, then I don't have a really good friend. Even though all around at their table are these life-giving friends, but they're still looking for something more. And when we do that, we miss out on what's really right in front of us. Or maybe you've just been really hurt by a friend, been burned by a friend, where you thought we were not just good friends, not just great friends. We were like the hold hands, jump up and down friends, and they totally burned me. And they left you hanging, and your heart is still broken. Friends can do that. It's not just lovers, right? I love saying the word lovers, right? Friends, you give your heart to, you give your best to. And when they talk about you behind your back, it kills. Or they throw you under the bus. or they do something that just betrays your trust, it can really hurt. And when we do that, we do what? A lot of us, we just say, now you're dead to me. And not just you're dead to me, I'm like, I'm never going to give my heart like that ever again to anyone. And you move through life hurt, angry, and lonely. And the idea of like, well, I'm going to engage in friendship again is asinine. Like, no, why would I want friends? They just are messy and they hurt. And it's true. Friendships are incredibly, incredibly messy. But here's the thing. We were created for relationship. We were created to be friends and have friends. We were created to know and to be known. Like our goal is that we want to be like a Jesus-looking community. We want to be Jesus-looking men and Jesus-looking women. And we have a Jesus-looking God who is highly relational. The Trinity itself, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit is this continual cycle of one emptying of itself of love and beauty, of just incredibly beautiful things, emptying itself into the other. And it's this cycle of just giving love over and over and over again. It is the picture of who God is. And it's a picture of relationship, of intimacy, of love. And out of like that fire, we were forged. That we can't just turn off the relationship. Now, our need for a relationship, of what we look for friends, it varies all over the place. I have a buddy who has a very low need for friendship. Very low need. He has like two really good friends that live like somewhere else in the country. They see each other maybe every 6 to 10 months, and they might talk with each other on the phone maybe every 3 months. And that's like enough for him. He's like, I don't need, and like, if that's him, I'm like way over the other side of the stage of where if I'm going to have someone over to my house, my wife loves this about me. I'm like, if we're going to invite one, why not invite 1,000, right? Like, it's not that much more work. We just need a couple more cocktail weenies, right? It's not that hard. Like, if I'm going to throw a party, I really want to invite every single person. I have a high need, have a high value of friendship. But we are all created to be friends and have friends. And here's the thing. One of the reasons why that we need to have friends and that God created us for relationship, because friendships shape who you are. Sometimes you think, no, I'm a self-made man, I'm a self-made woman, I pull myself up by my bootstraps and I just have to try harder, and that's how I got to be where I am. The reality is that the people in your life have shaped you. Like first your family, like their story and where they came from, and really even their privilege helped lead you to a place of where you can receive the benefits of their hard work and their stories and their values and their dreams and also their baggage. You're welcome, kids, right? Even that has shaped who you are. And then when you move into like your teenage years of what kind of music you end up listening to, if you're gonna play sports, you're gonna do drama, what club you're gonna be a part of, like your friends help drive that. And then college, what school you go to, who's your dorm roommate? Yeah, maybe you're like, I don't wanna be shaped by them. And then like who you got involved with on your dorm floor, or what job you took, and so on and so on. And especially at least for me in my stage of life, of like my friends incredibly shape the way of how I spend my free time, how I parent, how I celebrate. Like friends shape who you are. My youth pastor told me when I was a teenager, he said all the time, he said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And it's true. Because who you spend your time with, who you give your best to, it's gonna rub off on you. So here's my question to you. Who do you wanna be in 10 years? Like, I love this question. Who do you want to be? What kind of things do you want to celebrate? Do you want to travel? Do you want to just like, my buddy Charlie says, I want to sit in my basement the way God intended, right? Just want to sit in my basement. I love that, right? How healthy do you want to be? What kind of books do you want to read? What kind of stories do you want to share? Like, who do you really want to be in 10 years? And as you look around your friendships, are they helping you lean into that? Or as you look at your friendships, do you think, I don't know if I want to be that anymore. I don't think I want to laugh about that same joke over and over and over and over again, right? That's what my friends say about me. Like, yeah, Chris, we heard that one. But sometimes we think we're going to get to where we want, like, just by accident. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. It's working for me. It's good. But sometimes we never think out ahead of like, well, how do I want to change my arrow? How do I want to change my trajectory? Your friends are going to shape who you are. They're going to have a huge impact of where you're going to end up. And if we don't know how to make friends, if we don't know how to like change lanes or just move a little bit and lean into something different, then are you going to get there on purpose? And some of you, maybe you're here listening on this podcast, you know, you're like, I need to branch out, make new friends. So here's what I'm not, or maybe you do need to like totally disrupt all your relationships and say, hey, this is not healthy. That and draw some really firm boundaries. That may be the case, but for a lot of us, I'm not saying like go up to all your friends and say, you're not helping me be who I want to be, so get out of here, right? I'm not saying that. I'm saying we might have an opportunity just to open, evolve, maybe change a little bit so that we can continue to grow who God's inviting us to be. Here's another like hard thing about friendships. Maybe you found that you have a lot of just functional friendships. Functional. As in, as long as it serves my purpose. Now, I just talked about, right, of like, how can our friendships, they're going to shape who we are, and can we get there on purpose? But then there's a part of like our culture which says, I will only be friends with you if you benefit me directly. And as soon as you don't benefit me, you don't make me look cool, you don't make me look hip, then you don't make me look wow, if you don't help me advance in my social status and circles, then you are beneath me and you're gone. And that's really, it's super prevalent in our culture because everything is about what? I have to make sure I win. And what we're going to see here in Proverbs is that like what the author is inviting us into is friendship just looks a little bit different. Like, can you be bored with your friends? Can you just be content with where your friends are at and be okay? Or you always feel this need of like, I have to live up here. Everything has to be amazing. Has to be laughing till 4 a.m. every night. Or can you just show up? See, there's something beautiful about lifelong friends. There's something beautiful about making new friends. I don't know about you, but when I meet someone the first time, we have like this connection. I'm gonna share a great story in a little bit. It feels alive. It feels right. And that's heaven. Of when we can be at the table, we can be at the party, we can be at the basketball game, and you have this connection and thought, I thought I was the only one. It's wonderful. So for the next couple weeks, what I'm inviting you into is let's just be open-minded. That maybe there's an opportunity for us to maybe be better friends and to engage someone else into like our circle of friends. Or maybe he's inviting us to maybe adapt and change some of the ways that we function. So show me your friends and show your future. Proverbs 17:7 says this: a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So the Proverbs are full of advice on how and wisdom of how we can be friends. And where I'd like to start is, I smile because you're my sister, and I laugh because there's nothing you can do about it. My mother-in-law has a pillow in her, at her house. My mother-in-law has now made in my message 2 weeks in a row. You're welcome, Sue. So what this verse is talking about is that there is family, and then there is friends. And sometimes that friend can be even closer than family. And in this context of, in this culture, family was everything. Your reputation, your like history, your trajectory, everything was based on who your family was and what they did and what they believed and what they thought. And if they did something that was disagreeable in the community, well, now you got lumped in. Now you did something that was disagreeable. And so the fact that this author writes there is something can be closer than family, this would have made heads turn a little bit. Because here's really what he's saying. Family, when you like you hit rock bottom, you hit a really hard time, your family's going to show up. Well, how about this? I hope that your family would show up. Like maybe you're here and your family is disrupted and your family is just not in a really healthy place. But I think like the ideal, like what God has in mind for family is that we're going to show up, we're going to help you move, right? We're going to pick you up off the floor, we're going to dust you off, and we're going to do whatever we can to help you move forward. But the truth is, we don't have to like each other, right? You're going to help family. You might help them. And when you're done, you might not want to hang out with them. That's the reality. You're going to love. Why? Because it's my brother. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give my best. Why? Because you're my uncle. Because I'm your cousin. Because I'm your kid. You just do it. But you really don't have to like each other. You can love each other without liking each other. Because you don't have a choice in the matter. But friends are different. Like, friendships will enter into friendships on purpose. They have to choose to actually like you. Friends want to hang out at your table. Friends want to do those things. And so what he's contrasting here is that there is family, and they have a place, and there's a love, and there's a value, and that's super incredibly important. But friendships have a different box. They have a different role of where they're going to give maybe in a different way than your family gives. And both are important, both are needed. But there is this intimacy, there is this connection, there's this closeness that friends can offer one another. And again, family can be friends like that as well. I'm not saying you can't be best friends with your siblings, but there's something very distinct about friends because you're going to be doing it absolutely, absolutely on purpose. And friendships bring something to the table that sometimes family can't offer. Because think about this. Our society has we're big fans of friends, right? I'd say our culture would say we have a value of friendships. But we have a way higher value on different kinds of love. Think about it. When you go in, like, online and you see, like, the news headlines, like, I go to Google News every day. And never do I see a headline that says, guess who's been best friends for 35 years? These two celebrities, right? Guess who went on a walk and talked about their day? These two celebrities. You never see that. What do you see? Guess who's back together? Guess who broke up with who? Guess what Taylor Swift is doing again to that guy? Whatever it might be. Here comes a new song, right? Look what you made me do. Like, we want to know what's going on in their, like, dating, or what's going on in their sensuality, what's going on with this kind of who's sleeping with who and who's breaking up with who. Like, we just can't get enough of that. There's a reason that that's a multi-billion-dollar industry, because our culture, we have a high value of love that is like erotic love or like really cool, sexy love. But never does friendship make the headlines. Actually, it'd probably be kind of weird. We're like, guess who's been best friends for 35 years? You're like, well, I wonder why they put that in there. All right? And we're driven as a culture. I was just talking to a group of college students about this, that we have this idea of that, like, sex is like the highest peak of our human experience. That if I could just have mind-blowing sex, then that would be like the pinnacle of my existence would be that. And that's just not the case. It's not the case. I'm a fan of it, all right? I'm a fan of it, but it's not the peak purpose of my life. My purpose of my life is to love God, to love people. And we get the love God part. This time, this stuff gets messy. Loving people can get messy. And so our culture doesn't have this high, high value, but what the Bible is saying is there is a value of all those things. But we don't have to elevate one over the other. So we have this idea of friendship can be even closer than family, that we can give love to one another, that we can show up, that we can have this deep, life-lasting connection. So how do you make friends? This is what C.S. Lewis says. Friendship is born at the moment when one man says to another, what? You too, right? I thought it was the only one. We have this word of, well, let's make friends. Go make friends. Tell your kids, make friends. Like, you can make a sandwich. You can make a fire. You can make a thermostat. I guess technically you can make one if you know how to do it, right? You can't make friends. You just can't try harder. I mean, maybe you've been there, like, hey, I'm going to make some friends today. Today's the day I make friends. And you show up, you're like, all right, who am I making today, all right? What kind of friends am I making today? You can't do it. Friendships happen when there's something that you love, there's something that you are passionate about, something that you desire, and someone else comes alongside you and they see it too. They have this, like, vision, you have this dream of what I want to do, or what I want to experience, or how I want to laugh, or how I want to celebrate, and someone goes, me too. Because kids, they can make friends because everyone's their friend. They go show up on the playground, like my kids, we live close to ESCO school. My kids will go play and I'm like, hey, how was it? And they'll say, oh, my friends were there. I'm like, oh, sweet, who? What's their names? They're like, I don't know. It's like I said, how do planes fly? I don't know, right? But to them, just by being close means you're a friend. Why? Because they want to play. They have something in common. I just want to play. I met a guy when I was in seventh grade. Well, he wasn't a guy. He was also in seventh grade. So, and because that'd be a different story. But anyways, I went to this youth group at Cloquet Gospel Tabernacle, and there was a girl there, and I really liked her. And I was trying to impress her by like saying stuff like, yeah, Weezer's my favorite band of all time. Yeah, I'm pretty cool, right? She didn't pick up on that. So there was this other guy named Joe who also liked this girl. And Joe was better looking than me, taller, right? Like, it was awesome. And I felt very threatened by Joe after this girl. And so I like started getting between Joe and this girl. And then Joe didn't like that and picked me up and threw me in a snowbank, right? Yeah. And I did what any like 13-year-old boy would do to impress a girl, to show how tough he is, that I cried. I cried because I got thrown. I'm like, oh, I'm in the snowbank. I just, like an ugly cry too. It wasn't just like, I'm okay. All right, just total like broke down. But it worked because you already know where it's going. Because she came over, she's like, are you okay? Why would you do that, Joe? Right? So, but I just texted, we call him Joe Bear and our fan. I just texted him and we've been incredibly great friends since seventh grade. And what was like our connection? What was like our common shared thing? Well, it started out as this girl. Then I found out that he loves basketball. Found out, imagine this, a teenage boy liked playing video games. I'm like, wow, me too. That's amazing. Of all the people, we found each other, right? And we went to college together. And like the things that we loved, funny how they kept evolving. And they kept adapting and changing. But we kept changing and connecting and staying together. So you could have like those lifelong friends that started by whatever the common thing you had. I met a guy at the mobile food share. And by the way, we had over 200 families show up last Thursday. There was a line of cars. We do a mobile food bank, partnered with the Second Harvest Food Bank as well. And Krista, who leads it, was just sharing with me. They had cars line up all the way out from Our Savior's all the way to Carlton Avenue, that we're going to actually have to have the police come and help direct traffic. That there's so many people are showing up because they just have a simple need. And we can meet it. They just need a meal. They need food. So shameless plug, if you'd like to come and bless families, we'd love to have you. All you have to do on your Connect form is saying, I want to serve food. It's cold. I won't lie to you. I'm not going to bait and switch you. Like, no, wear your shorts. It's great. Right? It's cold. It's cold. But I can tell you it's worth it. It is. I've never met any volunteer who's helped out people in need and said, what a waste of time. Never. Because you are making a difference and you see the difference you're making. I already forgot what I was talking about. Oh, I had the guy at the food bank. His name's Dan, and he's the guy who's the director of it. And I walked up and said, hey, Dan, we knew each other. And I'm like, is this your car? And it said, A. Wiggins. A. Wiggins. Does anyone know what A. Wiggins means? All right? It's from my favorite book of all time called Ender's Game. I said, is that Andrew Wiggins? Like Ender? Ender Wiggins? Ender's Games? And like Peter Valentine's brother? And he looked at me like, what? He's like, you like Ender's Game? I'm like, I love Ender's Game. I told him how I want to get a tattoo that says the enemy's gate is down and Dragon Army with all their colors on it. And we, exactly, right? If you know the book, I'm a huge fan, right? And we like had this spark and we were like two like junior high girls doing this and like, right? And my wife was standing next to me and she's like, you guys are weird, right? But that's how you become friends. That's how you become friends. You don't make a friend, you become a friend. When you find something that you are passionate about, that you love, and someone else loves it too. So here's what my coach has told me. My coach, Jen Birch, one thing that she says all the time, she goes, Sodder, you gotta let your freak flag fly, right? You gotta let it fly. And here, what I mean is this, there's things that you love, there's things that you are passionate about, there are things that you like love to geek out on. you love like spending your time, and you feel like, ooh, no, I'm the only one. No one wants to get the tattoo. Enemy's gate is down. I know one other person does, right? There's freedom in being you. Because here's what we often do. We often think, okay, to be a really good friend, to make new friends, I have to what? I have to dress like them. I have to talk like them. I have to act cool, even as adults. I have to, like, somehow the real me is a threat to having really good friends, so I have to be like them. And I have relevant means I just act and behave like them. And it works. Absolutely works. I won't lie to you. It works. You can make new friends by playing the game, but I can tell you, you will be sick and tired of playing that game because it's all about the game instead of about you. Instead of being about what you're passionate about, what you believe, and how you're changing, growing, and adapting, it's all about, I have to catch up. I have to catch up. I have to parent like them. I must be parenting wrong. I have to laugh like them. I have to love like they love. We have to celebrate like they celebrate. And you're like, if you just keep doing that, it is exhausting. I've been there. And when you get to that place of like, I'm worth it. I'm worth being known. I'm worth being loved. And the things that I love, I'm not going to turn that down anymore. As long as it's healthy. I'm not saying like, you love murdering people. Go and do it. I'm not advocating that at all, right? But let your freak flag fly. And this is why we encourage people, we talk about all the time, of neighboring. Get to know the people in the soil you're on. Because you'll be surprised as you start sharing stories and you're asking and getting curious about their life. There's going to be someone in your neighborhood. There's going to be someone at that basketball game. There's someone at that holiday party for work that you're going to be surprised and you're going to say or think, I thought I was the only one. And friendships can be born. So try new things. So you can't make a friend, but we can discover friends. So let's say you got a friend and you finally like found it. You got someone to geek out on like Name of the Wind, right? It's another book I love. And you can talk about all these things. What's behind the stone door? And you can like sit for 4 hours and talk about it. What do? If you have a friend, how do you grow in your friendships? You can do it on purpose. And here's one of my favorite quotes. It is one of the blessings of old friends that you can afford to be stupid with them, right? Is that the truth? Good friends means that you can actually do stupid stuff and they're still your friends. And one of my points, I'm going to get into that, I think it's really important that we do stupid stuff, to be quite honest. So if you have good friends, how can you continue to be a good friend? I'm going to give you just a quick couple tips and then we're going to wrap up. First one is this, say thanks. Say thank you, like out loud or in a text or this crazy thing called a letter, right? Write them a letter, right? Here's what I've noticed. We don't often tell each other what we value about each other. And maybe you're here and you are great at that. You're like, I tell my friends all the time how much I love them. How about I just speak to the men in the room? I try doing this with my friends every so often. I will tell them like, hey, I really appreciate you. I really love you. Thank you for investing in me. There's no way I'd be the man who I am if you weren't a part of my life. It feels super weird every time I do it, right? It's like I can't make eye contact. I'm like, hey, so it was really great you being my friend and all. Right? Because why? Why does it feel weird? Because we don't do that. But when I do that, when I put like words to it, I put my attention, I'm putting like the best of myself on that one human individual, I experience heaven. And when people tell that to me, saying, hey, thanks for being my friend. Thank you for listening. I feel so alive. I feel so good. And I don't hear people talking about how much they love their friends. So like, take a moment, sometime today. Text your friend, call your friend, show up at their house unannounced, all right? Sign of a friend. If you can just walk in the front door without knocking, that's that's a super good friend. Open the door and tell, I love you, then you can leave. So Just take a moment to tell them what you really think. Okay, I'm gonna go now from the men. Now I'm gonna go to the dads. Just one side note here that I felt like God was telling me I was writing this message is this: tell your kids what you love about them. You might kiss them before bed or see them say I love you. Get specific. Tell your kids what you love about them. There's a song by Greg Brown that I quote often, and it says, "If you don't get it at home, you're gonna go looking." You guys know that song? If you don't get it at home, you're going to go looking. Like, he's got this deep, like shaky voice is what I call it, because I get music really well. So, but it is absolutely true. Your kids will go somewhere else to find out who they are. They will go to a million different places to find out who they are and whose they are if we're not telling them. So take a moment, grab them by that cute little face, and tell them what you love about them. So the first thing about being a good friend is that we have to say thanks. The second one is this, I mentioned it earlier, is show up and be bored. Show up with your friends and be bored. And I already ruined this point, but there's times that I feel like if I'm gonna hang out with my friends, it has to be like an 11 all the time. Like, we're gonna get together, we're gonna play Trains, and it's gonna be mind-blowing, right? We're gonna have a dinner party, and it's gonna be amazing. And I show up, and sometimes it's just like, that was a good time. And I feel guilty. And I feel guilty that it's not this, like, everything is this mountaintop experience. Good friends, you can just be bored. And the most important part in that sentence of show up and be bored is the show up part. Good friends show up. Because it's not all about you. You might think, I don't want to go to another grad party. I've had too many little slices of rolled ham. Who rolls ham? Or I don't need any more rolls of ham, okay? Show up. Show up at the football game. Show up at the birthday party. Show up to roof. No one likes roofing unless you do it for your job, and you probably still don't like it, all right? Show up at the garage sale. Good friends show up. Had a guy tell me that, like, about being a father, he said 90% of it is that you're just willing to show up. Show up and be bored. Be relaxed. You can be quiet. And when you have that kind of security, you have that kind of safety of where you can just be you and you can just be quiet, you don't have to have like nervous banter so no one's ever quiet. You can just show up. And it's a beautiful thing. Next one is this. This is my favorite one, is you have to get clear. You have to get clear in your friendships. Here's what often happens in friends is as we're doing the comparing game and we're like, okay, you're spending time with them, but what about me? And I thought it was over here, but really I'm over here. We get insecure. It is so easy to operate and live in an insecure like mentality that I am not enough. Are we in trouble? Are we okay? Was it a good day? Was it a bad day? I don't know. What kind of day was it? Right? You can move in that way. And when you don't talk about it, because what does culture tell us to do? Try harder and bury it. Because that's super healthy, right? You are frustrated that your friend never calls you. Number one complaint I hear. Of like, what's frustrating with your friends? Like, oh, I'm always the one to organize the party. I always call them. They never call me. I always invite them. They never invite me. Anyone heard that before? Raise of hands. All right? Pretty much every time I talk to someone about how your friend's going and their frustration is that they do all the work. And I've talked to the other friends and they feel like, I do all the work. I'm like, well, someone's clearly doing all the work and it's not neither of you, right? And when you get that hang up and you get insecure, you get hurt. And when you just get quiet and you just bury it down, it's the same thing of just turning your heart off to them. We don't like talking about it. So here's, by getting clear, is you have to like actually sit down and chat. I talked about, this is how you hurt me. Here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm observing. And here's what I want. Like, let alone like friendships, it's hard to do that even in, like, if you're here and you're in a relationship with you and your partner, it's hard to say, I want to get really clear of what I want. But here's the beautiful part. When you can say it out loud of here's what I want, and they don't run away, they're still at that table, it is a beautiful thing. We just did this with some of our friends recently, where we sat down and we were enjoying a meal and we were laughing and somehow we got to this subject of what kind of friends we are. And it was a little weird at first, I won't lie. Like, what kind of friends are we? And we had to evaluate and we just decided we're gonna be vulnerable and we're going to out loud process what we really feel. And we're talking about, man, I feel like you have these kind of friends where you do these amazing things and we're just like the other friends. And people can come and go, but we're just these friends, but all the really good stuff happens with other friends. And it was crazy because we thought the same thing. It was like someone had like a finger in my brain of like, me too. And we sat there, we talked for well over an hour of like, well, what kind of friends do we want to be? And the things that we got clear of, this is what's insecure about us. This is what we feel. This is, feels kind of scary. And then at the end of it, we were talking about dreaming. Well, what kind of friends do we want to be? It was so good. So my encouragement, if you feel disrupted, you feel frustrated with your friends, if you feel like it's lacking in some area, maybe it's you or it's them, like love them enough to get clear. And then begin to dream with your friends of what kind of friendships do we really want. All right, I love that. And the last one is this. This is where I end. Is be the keeper of secrets, especially the stupid stuff. Be the keeper of secrets. I was at a wedding, and this lady was talking about her brother who passed away, and she called him, he was the keeper of all my secrets. And it's haunted me. That was like 7 years ago. I love that idea. With my friends, I'm the keeper of their secrets. Meaning when we do silly stuff, when we do stupid stuff, when we laugh or when we cry or we confess or we confide, like I get to be keeper of that secrets. What kind of moments are you creating with your friendships? What kind of secrets are you planning on having in the future? Go out and have fun. Live life. My therapist and I, we just met with Dr. Then she said, Chris, you got to do silly things. Like having a grown professional woman tell me to do, I'm like, what? She goes, you got to be silly. Laugh. Enjoy. So, Cloquet Vineyard, let's get silly. Let's enjoy life. Let's make friends. Let's continue to add value to the people around us, inviting people in our homes, inviting people into our celebrations, finding things, new things about each other where we can discover friendships and then we're willing to get clear and be honest and be the keeper of secrets. Let's stand. Let's pray. So there's a, let me pray. Let me pray for us. If you're here and you'd like to connect with the divine, if you'd like to connect with God, we do that through hundreds of different ways. But one way is we do it corporately as a community is that we just take time to pray. So I encourage you just to quiet down. I might be quiet for a little bit because we believe that God speaks to us. He nudges us. He prompts us. And I only want to pray just what he's doing. I never want to just be the pastor guy, the churchy guy that's just talking to talk. I want to like do what he's doing. So please, if you'd like, join me. Let's pray. So God, we ask that your presence, that heaven itself would come. And I ask that you would like invade our lives, our hearts, and our beings. And there'd be this indwelling of heaven itself in us. And I first thank you that you are a God that wants to connect with me. You're a God that is pursuing us, relentlessly pursuing us. Even though we call you a liar, even though we call you a thief, you still call us friend, so thank you. And I ask, Jesus, you'd give us what we need to continue to give our best to those around us. I pray for the friendships in this room. Thank you for the life-giving conversations. Thank you for the silly moments. Thank you for the challenging moments. And will you help us grow? That whole idea of conversations around every table in Carlton County. God, we open our eyes to see the people in our neighborhoods where we can begin to add value, that we can begin to invest, that we can begin to laugh and share life with. Give us wisdom. And I pray for my friends here today who are hurt. They're hurt by their friends. Some of us, it's decades, and we can't let it go. Will you come? And bring healing and bring hope. We love you. Amen. So we do something here called ministry time where we actually take time to pray for one another. If you're on the ministry team, you mind making your way up? These are people who are for you. They want good things to happen in your life and through your life. And there's a couple things I felt like were highlighted. And you can come up for prayer for anything that you'd like, but these two stood out to me. The first one is just what I prayed. You were hurt by a friendship. You feel stuck and you feel lonely. When you feel lonely, sometimes you're like, I'm not going to go up and admit to someone I'm lonely because they're going to know I'm lonely. How's that working for you, right? Like sometimes we have to say it out loud. These people would love to talk with you and pray for you. And the second one is this. You have changed and evolved. You are changing and evolving in what you're thinking, what you're believing, or what you're passionate about. But you feel like in your tribe, in your circle of friends, you feel like you're betraying them. Because you don't feel like we're on the same page anymore. And you don't know how to move out of that circle. So you just decide to stay there, even though you've evolved and you've changed. I feel like that was for someone specific. If that's you, like God notices you and he has what you need. If you'd like prayer for anything else, come up. We'd love the opportunity to pray. Thank you for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard, and go Cloquet football team.